Grace, mercy, and peace be yours this day, from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Everyone loves a good journey. Humor me for a minute. Close your eyes. Close them. Picture your favorite trip you've ever been on. Remember the sights along the way. The smells. The people who joined you. Challenges overcome. And the joy found at journey's end. Feel free to open your eyes. Today, I'd invite all of you to think of the Christian life as a journey. It's the great adventure of our lives, interacting with God's creation and everyone in it. It's glorious. Yet, there are times when the journey becomes too difficult to bear. Now, let me tell you about a journey that I went on recently. Now, I know that not many of you know me, some do, but if there's one hobby that I really enjoy, I love downhill skiing. It is such a joy for me, and it's one of the few things that I can do really well. Like, I really enjoy it. As a passion that me and my family share. Over winter, we drove out west to Colorado for 4 days, and we took turns falling down the mountains out there. It was absolutely beautiful. I loved it. There's no room for distractions when your heart is into what you're doing. And let me tell you, my heart is in it when I'm skiing. I feel locked in the groove. I have a passion for it. I adore it. There's something about, for me, racing down a mountainside, feeling the sharp, cold wind on my face, and taking in the striking, rugged beauty of God's creation. Day one out there, amazing. Day two, even better than I expected. But on day three, a bit of a problem happened to me. Now, you see, all the way back in high school, you gotta imagine younger and dumber high school James here for a minute, I ended up injuring my knee pretty badly. I needed surgery on it, and because I was young and dumb and in high school, I didn't think to rehab it as properly as I should have, and when I tend to overextend myself physically, I ended up, you know, getting in a bit more pain. So day three of skiing happens. I wake up, I get up, ready for bed, jump to my feet in excitement, and I all but buckle out of pain. I was crushed, and my joy for the day evaporated as quickly as it started. It's hard to enjoy the journey when you're distracted by your wounds. What wounds distract you on your Christian journey? And this takes us to the audience of our Old Testament reading for today. The children of Israel on the plains of Moab. They've been on an epic journey, a generational journey. It's a young, vibrant crowd. There's an excitement in the air. The promised land looms out in the distance, and the people are chomping at the bit to get to where they've been promised to go to. But their leader, Moses, makes these young people sit still, take their time, and listen to a nice long sermon about their history. The parents of these people had seen miraculous things. They were brought up out of slavery in Egypt. They witnessed their salvation on the shores of the Red Sea, and they saw the glory of God descending from the cloud on Sinai. These people saw God in their full glory. And what did they do? They resented him at every turn. They were wounded, deeply wounded. Now, I'm not talking about a physical wound, not like my knee, but it sure cut to the heart. Their wound was that they did not trust in the Lord their God. That whole generation doubted him at every turn. Their wound paralyzed them so much that it made their journey cease. How's your Christian journey going? Like getting knee pain while skiing, it's remarkable how even a little pain or ache can take your heart out of it. Is your heart in the journey? Or are you just limping along, distracted by a wound? Does that wound seem to fester when you hear the words for Moses today? See, I have set before you today life and death, good and evil. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, you will surely perish. This fork in the road is not a minor theme. Psalm 1 draws on it too. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on it day and night. But hey, we're seminary students, and we might be quick to dismiss this as some Old Testament thing. We really don't need to worry about this, right? The earliest Christian writing, the Didache, draws on this theme too. There are two ways, the way of life and the way of death. Keeping on the way of life matters, but our wounds can cripple us along our journey. Let me tell you about another wound I have. It's a lack of trust, similar to the Israelites. I feel a desperate need to succeed. I fear failure at every possible turn. It permeates into every task I do, every relationship I have. Did I pay attention enough in that lecture? Did I really try on that paper, or as many of my profs probably think, did I turn in four more pages of fluff? Are these classes actually benefiting me long term? Did I let that person down again that genuinely cares for me? I don't want to fail others, and I feel a deep sense of shame whenever I do. It makes me distance myself from others, become a rampant individualist, and I push away everyone else that's trying to help. The very thing that I crave as my idol of success is the very thing that wounds me to the core. Now, maybe you're a lot like me. Maybe you're wounded in the same way, or maybe not. Maybe you're wounded at anger or at someone else. I'm not talking about that guy that cuts you off in traffic. That guy that just seems to get under your skin. And you hate even breathing the same air as him. Or maybe you fear for your security, observing geopolitical conflicts, the culture that we live in today, even to the recent string of car robberies that are rampant in our community. You wonder about security for you, for your family. You and I all have wounds that we all share. We're wounded in very unique ways. And they all stem from a lack of trust in God to take care of us. And like the Israelites that came before us, it can be so easy for us to focus on our wounds and fail to endure the Christian journey. But our God doesn't leave us without help. The Lord cares deeply for his people from generation to generation for ages. When the Israelites did not follow the covenant they swore on the plains of Moab, he sent judges and prophets to call his people back to repentance. He went out of his way for his people time and time and time again. And he did this because God loves his people despite their wounds, despite all of our lack of trust. And in due time, that love became incarnate in the person of Jesus Christ. In his death and his resurrection, Jesus heals all of our wounds. He heals my wound of the need to succeed, loving me despite all of my failures, which are many. Think of the wounds you harbor, deep, deep down, the ones you wish that no one else knew about. Christ heals us, heals you of all of your wounds. And now that we're healed, what are we called to do? Do we stay face down in the dirt of the Christian journey? Do you really think, back to my skiing story, I stayed put once my knee started to feel better? By the power of the Holy Spirit, we get back up and live life according to his will. As we commemorate the confessor of Philip Melanchthon today, and as I have a nice large group of nerds, I mean seminarians, in front of me, I thought it appropriate to quote him today. The law always accuses, but not only. Yes, the law accuses. Even though I walk on my knee just fine, it still has scar tissue that I'll deal with until Christ's second coming. While I might be fine in trusting God right now, I will always struggle with trusting in my own success rather than God himself. All of us will struggle with our wounds. And if you don't believe that, well, you really don't need to be here. After all, this is a hospital for the broken, not a museum for the righteous. The law always accuses. But that's not all it does. The law demonstrates God's will for his creation, guiding us along on our journey. And we follow the one who is our God, Jesus Christ. He is the living embodiment of his will for his creation. He's what it means to be fully human. And as our wounds heal, as we rise up and we stride after his steps, we look to his example and follow him. Now, we know we will never measure up to his standard, but we're called to do it anyway. We follow Paul's words as we press on to the goal, following in Christ's footsteps. We follow Christ's command to the woman caught in adultery to go now and sin no more. We follow Christ's command to Peter on the shores of the Sea of Galilee at the end of John's gospel to follow him. We follow the example that's been laid out before us in Christ Jesus. It guides us along as we strive in this journey of the Christian life, teaching us what it means to live according to his Father's will. And the will of God is so much more than just telling us how to live our lives. It tells us how to truly live. For God willed the planets into motion and set the stars into the heaven by his word. The will of God is present in gravity, holding us to this creation. It's present in the very air that we breathe, and it's all a gift from him. God's will is how he designed us to live in his creation, locking us into the groove of what God designed us to be. Like me racing down a mountainside on a ski hill. Like the Israelites chomping at the bit to get into the promised land. God wants you and I to take heart in the journey of our lives and all we encounter along the way. So enjoy the great adventure of our lives. Sojourn with healed wounds and strive to embody his will. Enjoy the sights you encounter, the smells, the people you travel with, the obstacles overcome, and the joy found at the journey's end. Everyone loves a good journey. Take heart in the Christian one. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.